Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports on this Tuesday, September 4th, 2018. The day after Labor Day, I really hope you guys had a great one spending that time with family and friends. Maybe if you, maybe some of you went to a cookout or two. Maybe some of you went swimming. I saw a few of my Facebook friends out there just watching TV with the fam. Just, I mean, just keep it simple, right? Labor Day, the final holiday of the summer. I can't believe that, right? Now it's gone. And we really dive into the September month right now, right? You're back to work, and we plan on taking the edge off of your work week with a great hour of sports talk. Even though you guys, many of you, had Monday off, we were back at it. Of course, you have to have a show the week right after, the Monday right after week one in college football, right? So we spent a ton of time on yesterday's current sports, breaking down the Michigan State football win over Utah State. It was a close call, 38-31, the final there. And we posed the question to you all, just how worried you are when it comes to the Spartans moving forward, seeing as though Michigan State was favored by double digits, 20-plus point favorites in that game, and they only win by a touchdown. And many of you weighed in on that, and I asked, you know, from 1 to 10, one being not really worried at all, to 10 being, oh my goodness, I'm really worried about this team moving forward. Many of you were kind of in the middle, you know, like 5, 6, you know, a few of you on our Facebook page, you know, we're about a 1 and 2, you know, Mark Antonio does not, you know, come out and blow teams out in the first place. So we'll see what happens. I mean, this weekend, they'll be playing an Arizona State team that I think is, you know, going to be competitive this year in college football. You know, it's Herm Edwards' first year. And, you know, it's Tuesday. So this morning, actually, Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team, he actually, again, as he's going to do throughout the entire college football season, every Tuesday morning, he's going to speak to the media. And he did that this morning around 11:30, previewing that week's matchup. Of course, this week being Arizona State University. So you will get a chance to hear a bit of what Mark D'Antonio had to say. He also speaks on his relationship with Herm Edwards. So you don't want to miss that. So we'll bring to you coverage from Mark D'Antonio's press conference. We'll also have final thoughts on the University of Michigan loss to Notre Dame. And Braylon Edwards, former University of Michigan wide receiver great, who tweeted some really harsh words of criticism in which he did call out some players and drop the F-bomb. And he got reprimanded by his employer right now, the being the Big Ten Network. He is suspended indefinitely. But Braylon is doubling down, regretting that he used names in the tweets, you know, and using profanity in that tweet, criticizing his university. But he's sticking to his guns when it comes to how he feels about this 2018 University of Michigan football squad. He doesn't think the Wolverines are that great. Jim Harbaugh heard that criticism, and at his press conference, which was a little after noon yesterday in A Squared, Jim Harbaugh said, "Hey, Braylon, if you're going to criticize anybody, don't criticize my players. Criticize me. I take the blame." So we'll talk about the Braylon and Jim Harbaugh love affair, or lack thereof. And then on the back end of the show, this news has gone viral. The biggest sports story of the week so far, Many of you flipped your wig when you saw that Colin Kaepernick is the new representative of Nike. I love this. I guess Nike has kind of like an anniversary campaign that's going on. And from reports that I've seen online, Colin Kaepernick actually has been with Nike for a while now. They've been cutting him a check for a minute now. But Nike decided to finally come out publicly and say that, yeah, we endorse Colin Kaepernick. And, you know, the photo that's been floating around, I actually put this on my social media pages of Instagram and my Facebook page as well. Also my Twitter. It's a picture of Colin Kaep rocking the fro and all. And the words that read over Colin Kaepernick's face are, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. And then you have the Nike swoosh at the bottom with, of course, the iconic Nike mantra of just do it, period. So we'll talk about this campaign. A few folks out there on social media have made the news because those who oppose Colin Kaepernick and his movement of kneeling during the national anthem, there have been a few folks out there that have been posting photos of them using scissors to cut out, which is so idiotic in my opinion, but to cut out the Nike swoosh on their T-shirts. One guy I saw has cut out the Nike swoosh on his socks. That's just damaging good athletic wear. What are you doing? One guy I saw, you know, taking scissors to his Nike shorts. A few opposing this new Nike campaign, standing behind Colin Kaepernick, who has decided to kneel and started this movement, bringing attention to, in my opinion, a great cause. All right, so you get my thoughts on this whole Nike campaign in regards to Colin Kaepernick, and we will talk about all of that and so much more while inviting you all to be a part of the fun. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can check out the live stream there and comment below that video. Many of you are already doing that. What's up, Ben? Also, tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports. Quick hit headliners. We start with the Crosstown Showdown Fall Fan Fest that will be taking place tonight. It's an exhibition between the Lansing Lugnuts and the Michigan State baseball team that will be played at 7 p.m. at Cooley Law School Stadium. It's beautiful weather for baseball today as well. I know we got hit with a few storms in the evening on Monday, but a great night to get out and enjoy some baseball between Michigan State and the Lansing Lugnuts. Now, gates will open at 5 p.m. before the Home Run Derby begins at 5:30. The Spartans and the Luggies will then play a 7-inning game starting again at 7 p.m. Sparty, the MSU mascot, along with the MSU Spirit Squad, and Zeke, the Wonder Dog, will all be in attendance as well. That's always a great event each and every year. All right, Michigan sophomore Ambry Thomas of the University of Michigan football team has won his first Big Ten award as a college football player. Thomas, a Detroit King product, gave the Wolverines a needed spark on Saturday with a 99-yard kickoff return for a TD during the second quarter of a 24-17 loss at Notre Dame. As a result, Thomas was named the co-Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week, sharing the honor with Minnesota defensive back Antoine Winfield Jr., who returned a punt 76 yards for a score. Braylon Edwards told the Detroit News that his original tweet criticizing the University of Michigan football team on Saturday night was, quote, excessive, end quote, and it was a mistake to call out players by name, but Braylon says that he stands by his message. His tweet from yesterday I should say from Saturday. Yesterday afternoon, excuse me. Quote, I would like to address the tweet from this past Saturday. I should not have attacked Ruiz and Patterson that hard or period individually. I apologize as a former student athlete and NCAA analyst. With that being said, U of M football still needs to step up. So no apologies there. I dig that, Braylon. Keeping it 100. We'll talk about that. We'll elaborate more on that in just a moment. All right, playing in their third game in 4 days, the Michigan State field hockey team fell to Yale University 2-1 in overtime yesterday at Johnson Field out in Connecticut. Now, with the loss, Michigan State falls to 2-3 on the season and wraps up their Connecticut road trip with a 1-2 mark. Yale is 1-0 on the season after earning a victory in their season opener. The Detroit Tigers closer, Shane Green, allowed 2 home runs in the 9th inning, including a game-winning 2-run blast by Matt Davidson as the Chicago White Sox, topped the Detroit Tigers 4-2 in the series opener yesterday afternoon at Guaranteed Rate Field. Green entered the inning with a 2-1 lead after Tigers designated hitter Victor Martinez bashed a solo homer in the top of the 9th. All the runs in the game came via home run, 4 solo shots, and then Davidson's finale. So there you have that. Nike's announcement yesterday that it would make Colin Kaepernick the face of its Just Do It campaign sparked a firestorm on social media and literal fires as well. Some social media users took to Twitter to showcase their frustrations. Videos and photos showed fans completely destroying their Nike branded apparel, with some going as far as letting the gear actually go up in flames. Nike announced Kaepernick would be a part of the campaign along with other star athletes, including the great Serena Williams and Odell Beckham Jr. What are your thoughts on Colin Kaepernick signing with Nike, Nike standing behind Colin and making him the face of their Just Do It campaign? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Really want to get your thoughts on that. Also go to Facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can tweet us at Al Martin. WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Do you think it's excessive that some folks are burning their Nike apparel, cutting the Nike swoosh out of their Nike apparel? And what do you think of Nike standing behind Colin Kaepernick? All right, and last but not least, Rick Pitino, the former Louisville men's basketball coach, in his new book, Pitino, My Story, said that he's, quote, not considering coaching, period. All I'm interested in doing right now is motivating young athletes and programs and coaches, try to help them out, and try to stay active in the game in that way. That's what Pitino wrote, courtesy of the Louisville Courier Journal. Now, according to another portion of the book, that hasn't always been the case. As Pitino said, NBA teams weren't receptive to his job inquiries since being fired by Louisville in 2017. And we all know how that ended, right? The Katina Powell story done by ESPN's Outside the Lines. Katina Powell, a former escort, alleging that the program had hired strippers and prostitutes to try and recruit players. Pitino denied knowledge of it, and it kind of just blew up in his face. So, again, Pitino has a new book coming out. Pitino, My Story. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Multiple ways in which you can join the show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
Let's get out of Maria with Coach Saban.
All right, Coach, everyone had questions about who was going to start at quarterback when this game started. What answers did you have about your quarterbacks after watching both of them play tonight?
Well, I still like both guys. I think both guys are good players. I think both guys can help our team. All right, so why do you continually try to get me to say something that doesn't respect one of them? I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Nick Saban. Did get a chance to weigh on that. Just want to briefly touch on Nick Saban's interaction with ESPN reporter Maria Taylor. Saban calling out Maria for her question that inquired into the Crimson Tide's QB situation following, the win over Louisville for Bama. And just ridiculous sometimes. I mean, Nick Saban, he's been known to be fiery, right? I mean, there are countless clips of Nick Saban standing at the podium, not happy with the question, frustrated with reporters due to that question, and just flipping his wig and going off. Yeah, a few of those are funny. We've had some fun here on the show with some of those bites. But this wasn't cute, Nick. It was just unprofessional. And at the end of the day, Maria Taylor was just doing her job. And Nick realized it. And there's another conversation that can be had, another debate that can be had, whether or not reporters should interview coaches and players immediately after a game. Because those emotions are high, especially depending on how that game ends, right? Should there be a cool down period for that coach or player or players to just kind of, digest what just happened and then come out and speak to the media, to reporters. But there was nothing wrong with Maria Taylor's question because that is what the people want to know. That's our job here in the media. Whatever you all out there want to know, the listener, the viewer want to know, it's our job as journalists to provide an answer by asking a question to that said individual. In this case, it was Nick Saban. And everybody wants to know, okay, Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts, both of them play. Tua looked great. Is he going to be the starter now? Is he the number one guy? Or Jalen Hurts didn't look bad either in the game. They got this quarterback system really rolling, in my opinion. I mean, it wouldn't it be cool if, they run a dual system the entire season? Just another thing for opponents of Alabama to have to deal with. I would play them both still next game until somebody, throws a pick or has a bad outing and then that other player gets the number one gig. I don't see anything wrong with that. But that's what everybody wants to know. Who's going to be the number one guy? Maria Taylor just inquired into that realm of the QB situation. You want to know about it. I want to know about it. Nick Saban is tired of talking about it and just lashed out. Stop asking. I mean, come on, dude. So, a frustrated Saban, who, by the way, won 51-14. I mean, Nick Saban, one of the only coaches in America to be angry about, immediately after a 51-14 win. There's a method to the madness, though. Heck, at the end of the day, Nick Saban will go down, in my opinion, as the greatest college football coach of all time. There's a method to his madness. The dude wins. So, at the end of the day, I mean, there's a fine line, right, when it comes to just how you treat people, how you talk to people. And Nick Saban realized that he was wrong and apologized. He came out and apologized. So, we'll see what happens with this QB situation. Tua, who started on Saturday, he went 12 for 16, 227 yards, 2 touchdowns. Hurts played. He was just 5 of 9 for 70 yards. I mean, he didn't hurt the team when he was in, though, but Tua was the primary weapon behind center for Bama this past weekend. So, again, we'll see what happens with that situation moving forward. But Maria Taylor, you're a champ. Shout out to Maria Taylor. She handled that with class.
basically. I forget what was her immediate response was after Nick Saban went on that rant. Jack Kerwin, the man behind the glass engineer, I think she said something like, okay, or all right, well, something like, it was really quick, wasn't it?
And yeah, I think they cut away from her pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, she gave a response. I mean, you could tell because she said it was one word. I don't know what the word was, but she just said, all right, or okay. And then she just proceeded with, you know, asking her next question. Me, if that was me, I probably, you know, my Detroit probably would have came out, Jack, and I probably would have bit back and said, Nick, it's my job to ask the question. The people want to know, okay? And heck, that may have led to an argument right there on live TV. But Maria handled it well. She said, all right, next question, let's move on. And, you know, she also tweeted out, you know, that, all right, well, I'm looking forward to next week, you know. Let's keep it moving. She was a pro about the whole thing. So shout out to Maria Taylor. But Nick, it's just not cute sometimes, dude. That wasn't cool. And I think his apology alludes to that. All right, Mark D'Antonio, Michigan State football, 1-0. In the eyes of some of you, though, it doesn't feel like it because Michigan State highly favored against Utah State, only won by a score of 38-31 on Friday night under the lights at Spartan Stadium. We addressed that on the Labor Day edition of Current Sports yesterday, and we got some reaction from you all. You know, I asked you all on the scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not really worried, to 10 being, oh my gosh, I'm really worried about this squad moving forward. Many of you were in the middle. We had two of you, Ant and Ben, who commented on our Facebook page and said, look, I'm like a 1 or 2. D'Antonio doesn't blow out teams. That's just not what he does. At the end of the day, a win is a win. D'Antonio has had games like that to start the season where Michigan State has been highly favored. They squeak out a victory to start, and they go on to have great seasons. To that, I say touche. Very true. Very, very true. We also, on our Current Sports Twitter page, at WKAR_sports, we put up a poll. Where are you at with the MSU Spartans following Friday's opening game scare? And we have 30 votes. And the responses on that Twitter poll are not worried, somewhat concerned, extremely worried, and ignore. Let's see the results. 67% of you out of those 30 votes are somewhat concerned, are legitimately concerned about this team. That leads the poll. 67% of you are somewhat concerned. 23% of you are not worried. 7% of you are extremely worried. And 3% are just saying, let's just see how this season goes along. So if you want to vote on that, go to at WKAR_sports on Twitter. And maybe those votes, those numbers shift a bit. So, but Mark D'Antonio, he briefly touched on, you know, the Utah State game. But he's moving forward now. Michigan State, Arizona State, Saturday night, it will be a 10:45 p.m. kickoff time. Get that coffee maker ready. Or if you're not a coffee person, maybe you want to down a Red Bull. Red Bull gives you wings, even though it's extremely unhealthy. Just make sure you're up, all right, on Saturday night because it's going to be a late start. West Coast time, 3-hour time difference. Herm Edwards, first season as the head coach of the Sun Devils. This is going to be an interesting game because you look at, you know, ASU, and they made it look like slight work against UTSA this past weekend, the Road Runners. Arizona State didn't allow a score. And again, 49-7 was the final. The only touchdown that UTSA scored came in the fourth quarter. Arizona State didn't allow a score until that final stanza in the fourth. Again, it's UTSA, though, so take it with a grain of salt, as I like to say. Here is Mark D'Antonio. Starting off addressing the preparation for Arizona State and so much more. Again, this is coming from this morning at Spartan Stadium during Mark D'Antonio's weekly press conference.
I think it's the first time playing them, so you're not going to know them as well as you know somebody that you play year in and year out, know the changes and within your conference. But I think at the same time, we do our very best to try and gather as much information as we can on their players, what they do, where they come from, the coordinator, where he's coming from. San Diego State coordinator comes to, you know, Arizona State. So we're watching San Diego State film. We have a full breakdown of San Diego State film. Well, we don't even play them. But that's the nature of it. You try and figure out, okay, they use these coverages and these fronts and these different different pressures and things of that nature. But you have one game to go on. Certainly, they don't show everything as well. So a lot of it is preparation on terms of what you're going to do and making sure that that you're on task in terms of playing fast and playing aggressively and do what we do and do it well.
I meant to say earlier, do you have an update on Cole Chewins as well?
Cole, well, I don't really talk about injuries, but Cole is practicing, so we'll leave it at that.
Mark, have you heard anything from the Big Ten on Justin Lane at all? With that video caught him kind of throwing a punch. I don't know if there was anything that came from that from the league.
No.
Okay.
Did not hear anything.
And secondly, can you kind of going back to the question with Cole, can you kind of address how you thought Luke played when we got to review the tape and the intricacies of moving Tyler in and out from center to the outside?
Yeah. Well, you know, you've got an offensive line, and most people play five guys. So we've taken the approach that sometimes we play seven or eight, and in doing that, people need to play other positions. And, you know, that's a natural thing. So rather than put we're going to always put our best players out there. And so, you know, Luke flopped the left tackle. I thought he needs to play more on balance. He's a good athlete. He needs to be more on balance. I think part of playing offensive line is having both feet on the ground, certainly. When you get one off the ground, bad things happen. And he had that happen to him a number of times. So, again, you go back to Utah State. I mean, the defensive end, number 10, is a good player. Transfer from I believe, TCU, where he played as a redshirt or true freshman. So, you know, he gave him some problems. But there are going to be other people that give him problems. He's been playing more right tackle than left, so maybe that enters into it. You know, he'll play better as time goes on. And, you know, he's a competitor, and he's got to get ready to play, just like all of our guys. I don't think we played our best football game by any stretch last Friday. But it's a starting point, and sometimes you need a starting point to send you off to.
Mark, you mentioned in the post game that the run game is a product of receivers blocking and running backs. It's the whole thing. When you kind of looked at it, how far away are you guys from getting it where you want to go in the push, and where is it not?
I thought LJ ran well. I thought we had nine times we were third short. Just gives you an indication that we're, you know, 4 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards. We ran the ball 42 times, I think. So we ran the ball. I mean, we made a concerted effort to run the ball. We didn't have the breakout runs till the end of the game, which everybody wants to say, hey, run that play again. I like that when he runs for 20 yards. That just didn't happen like that. He'll break him. I thought LJ ran well. I thought he ran effectively, ran hard. But there's got to be a little bit more creases in there at times. And but they're getting a lot of people down, too. So, you know, in terms of defenses. So, consequently, you're able to take shots down the field, which happened.
Mark, do you know Herm Edwards, and what's impressed you making the transition after all that time in pro football and then in the broadcast booth?
Well, I do know Herm a little bit. I spent some time with him last year in Grand Rapids at a fundraiser, a charity golf thing, which I didn't golf, but anyway. I like Herm Edwards. Good guy, you could tell that. Got charisma. You know, says what he means. Those type of things. You know, I follow him from afar. I do remember when I was at the University of Kansas, you know, that Herm was just getting into coaching and was a scout for the Chiefs, Marty Schottenheimer's team, and he was one of the guys that they were bringing him along as a defensive assistant. I think he was a defensive assistant at the time, and Dungy was a secondary coach there, and they had an unbelievable staff. And then went to Tampa Bay from there, and then on to the Jets, I guess, from there. So, you know, I sort of followed him from afar, but I think he's done a great job. I think thus far from what I see, you know, transitioning to the college game, but he's one game in. It's a grind. That's all I'll tell him. So, but a good man.
Mark, back to the running game a little bit. When Connor got some of those opportunities in that second half, he really looked to have kind of that spark, like he was really going quick. Is that something where you can maybe get him some carriers earlier, or does it just seem like it's that much different because maybe the line wasn't blocking as well earlier when LJ had the ball?
Yeah, I thought we played better as the game progressed. Had too much pressure early in the game. I thought we did a better job protecting the quarterback and then running the football as the game progressed. I think Connor benefited from that. I just think on that particular play, he slid outside and then creased it. And then there are a couple times on the option, LJ's option got pulled back, brought back for some reason. And then we ran it again, basically, and Connor went in. Same play.
Mark, when you mentioned earlier that you wanted to get Brian better protection, just based on Friday's film, you look at Arizona State getting 9 sacks in the first game. That number really stands out. What did you see from them that allowed them to get that? That's a concern for you guys.
Yeah, Arizona State, a lot of different looks, a lot of different pressures, a lot of different angles that they come at you with. So we got to be prepared for that. Got to protect our quarterback. Different coverages. I think they're doing a nice job defensively. They're just into, really one game into what they're going to do, but it comes from San Diego State's coordinator coming over there, Danny Gonzalez. So we're going to find out more about our football team and their football team on Saturday night, but we have to protect the quarterback. They had 9 sacks, as you said, and numerous other quarterback hits.
Mark, with someone like Connor, obviously, made the most of his 5 carries last weekend. What's the sort of balancing act, I guess, between maybe wanting to give a guy more touches if he's earned them and sort of also wanting to maybe preserve the element of surprise in his game?
I think that, Connor's our number 2 tailback right now. He's not bracketed as the number 1. He's a very good player. When he earns that opportunity, if he's bracketed, that'll be something that we discuss at that time. But right now, LJ's our number 1 tailback, and so we'll ride that horse right now. But we've got not only him, but Weston Bridges. I've been impressed with Elijah Collins and Ladarius Jefferson as well. So we really will bring all 5 of those tailbacks to the game and see what happens. And I'm not, I'm going to play whoever's pulling the load, basically. So when and if it comes time to play somebody different, we will do that. But I don't foresee that. I thought LJ played pretty well as well, but gives us another guy to go to, and at times we have both of them in the game, which is a positive.
Hi, Coach. Hi,
Kier.
Hi. They say that, the college football season, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So after such kind of an emotional opening season win, how do you keep the team mellowed and just kind of level-headed going forward?
Oh, I think our football team has got a dose of reality, in all honesty. I think that in a step back, they probably thought that they were going to come in and play a little bit better than they did, or thought maybe Utah State didn't have the football team maybe that they did, combination of one or the other. And so I think our players are poised and understand what they need to do. So I don't think we're on a high right now that says that we're not going to be prepared for this football game. We're going to, we have our challenges with an away game, a long plane flight, the heat, obviously. Although I think that we would play in a different type of environment here. It's hot and humid, 90 and humid, so it's drier heat down there. But we're going to find out. So there's a lot of challenges waiting for us down there, and I think that's good for our football team at this point in time, and we'll look forward to this.
What the media and Mark, what the fan base say after a game can't be considered terribly relevant as you and his staff get a team ready for a game, I realize. But how would the coaching staff's evaluation of Friday night differ, let's say, from prevailing outside critiques?
Well, again, as I think I tried to address that already. I think that there's some good things in every football game. There's good things you do, and there's other things that you got to do better. We're on the 1-inch yard line. I'm talking from me to this microphone. And when you say don't jump off sides, and you jump off sides, that's a problem. And all of a sudden we take a sack and now we're kicking a field goal. So that takes points off the board. You throw an interception for a touchdown, that's putting points on the board. You're down on the 1-yard line and you get the wrong signal coming. You get the wrong wristband call or miscall the formation and you have a guy off the line and it takes a touchdown off, which should have been a toss sweep to the left. That's a problem. So those type of communication errors can't happen, but that's taking points off the board and making us kick field goals, which, again, I say that's 8 points. You take that out of the picture, along with a 3rd and 2 where we jumped off sides, the complexion of the game changes dramatically. It's not a 40-0 shot, but it's probably a somewhere a 14-17 point differential. So you look at those aspects, and then you look on the defensive side of the ball and ask yourself, well, could you have done this better or that better? And your answers are yes. So we're not negating what Utah State did. Like I said, they're to be commended. I think they have a good football team. I think that quarterback's the real deal. But at the same time, we did some things that were what I would call unforced errors, you know, where we were our own worst enemy. So, you know, on the one interception, the wide receiver slips on his turn. Defensive back makes a great play. He might have got it anyway, but, you know, it is sort of what it is. So my perception is we can play better. We will play better. We've always had these type of games, first game out of the box, it seems. And if you go back in 2013 and you look at how our football team progressed, or 2015, you look at how our football team progressed, you know, those are the things that you hope that are going to happen. There are no guarantees for that, but that's what you hope is going to happen.
Mark, I was just curious about the defensive rotations. A lot of players played on the D-line, a lot of linebackers, not as much in the secondary. Is that just younger guys behind them, or a concentrated decision, I guess, on the staff's part? Just was curious what went into that.
Really getting them on and off the field at that point in time, you know, with the hurry-up offense they were running at that time. So, no, we'll play other guys.
Mark, a question about going west. And I think since you've been here, it's just Oregon and Cal, the two times you've gone west early in a season like this. What are the challenges of that when it's not a bowl game and you don't have a week, because you don't see teams cross the country one way or another and have a terrible amount of success?
Well, we've gone to Oregon. We went to Cal. Those are their two West Coast games that we went to. So we're always trying to figure it out. Oregon, we went a day early. Played well in the first half, not so well the second half. Cal, I thought we hung in there with them. We stayed on Eastern times. I still remember my girls wanted to go out. Not far. They just want to go see what California looked like. I said, hey, it's 11:30 here. It's 8:30, but it's 11:30 Eastern time. We're going to bed. So we tried it that way, too. So we'll have a plan. We have a plan in place on how to handle it. It's a 10:45 game. We scrimmaged one time this summer in the stadium. We scrimmaged about it. We got done at 11:30. So we scrimmaged at night. They seemed to be fine with it. So we'll try and get ourselves ready to go and be on the clock and all that kind of stuff. But there are challenges. But, you know, there are challenges waiting for us every week. So it's just one of those things. I don't make a big deal about it. We're just going to go. We're going to play, and we're going to play fast. That's my mentality.
Mark, obviously, it's a homecoming for Brian.
It's the longest press conference day we've ever had.
It's a homecoming.
Go ahead.
It's a homecoming for Brian.
His phone's getting hot up here.
That's not mine, thankfully. Yeah. Brian gets to go home, and you got to obviously coach some nerves sometimes when a guy has to go home in front of a big crowd and friends and family. I guess, what do you tell him? And what you saw late in that game, I mean, is that just how he is? I mean, will he be?
Oh yeah, he'll be fine. You know, he's going to be fine. You know, he's had an opportunity to play in big games here, and huge national games, and so he'll have an opportunity to play in another one back home. And I think he's excited about it, and I think he brings a little bit of how you play down there and the mentality, you know, from a mindset, what you got to do to play in the heat a little bit. You know, he brings that mentality with him, and he'll bring that for all of us. So he's a little bit of a source of information, too.
Coach, you touched on this a little bit earlier, but 9 sacks for Arizona State, and you had your own issues picking up, identifying blitzes that were coming at you from Utah State. Take us through what that approach is when Brian comes to the line of scrimmage. If Tyler's at center, if Matt Allen's at center, who calls that out? What needs to improve communication-wise to pick up those blitzes?
Well, first of all, there's all different types of protections you use in college football or in football in general. So it's a matter of shoring up the protection relative to the concepts that you're going to use that particular or those particular plays. So that could be anywhere from a variety of things. So I think one of the most important things is you know, deciding what we're going to do prior to the game, and then you know, transitioning to the game itself and implementing those things. So there's a variety of ways to do it. Some of it's man, you know, some of it comes down to, hey, you got to block this guy. That's your guy. You got to block him. And otherwise, other times you're going to get help. So we need to just format it so that we're in a best-case scenarios. Sometimes it's the rhythm of the quarterback, and that depends on what type of play you have coming. You know, is it play action? Is it three-step? Is it RPO? Is it five-step protection? What is it? All those type of things. So there's a lot of variables, I think, that go along with that. So I'm filibustering.
All right. Okay.
So, thanks.
Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team. Again, comments coming this morning from Spartan Stadium during Coach D'Antonio's weekly press conference. A few things that he touched on before I hit this first break, I want to reiterate here. Brian Lewerke is from Arizona. You know, he's from the West Coast. And he's going to be a great, quote, source of information, as Coach D'Antonio put it this morning, in regards to how Michigan State will handle the heat in Arizona. You also heard Coach D'Antonio talk about how the fact that it is, again, just walk around mid-Michigan right now, just make sure you're hydrated because it's 90 degrees and humid here in mid-Michigan. And D'Antonio says that's good preparation as we go out to Arizona where it's in the hundreds, all right? So, it's going to be kind of like a homecoming for Brian Lewerke, which is really cool for him. Really cool for him, you know, to play in front of his hometown, so to speak. Also, Michigan State did scrimmage late during preseason camp to prepare for the three-hour time difference. Again, as I noted, it will be a 10:45 p.m. kickoff come Saturday night. And to kind of get it in that mode and to get ready for the time change, they did have a late scrimmage during preseason training camp. L.J. Scott is still the number one running back. Despite all of the chatter, you know, LJ kind of looked average on Friday night. Connor Hayward provided a spark. We had a comment on our Facebook page. My man Tony said, start Connor Hayward. Put LJ Scott as the number two guy. You know, again, we're so reactionary after one game, right? But again, D'Antonio is not. LJ Scott is still the number one back for Michigan State. Mark D'Antonio went on to say that we got a, quote, dose of reality after that first game, it being as close as it was when many like myself, what do we know in the media, right, predicted that it would be a blowout for the Spartans. A dose of reality is how Mark D'Antonio is looking at it. Also, Jack, I didn't see this when, you know, and again, in part because when I'm at the game and I'm in the press box, it is so tough to see everything. When you're at home maxing, taxing, and relaxing on your couch and watching the game on the broadcast, you're getting commentary. You're getting all these HD angles. I didn't know that Justin Lane threw a punch when he received that unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on Friday night. Mark D'Antonio said that he has not heard back from the Big Ten in regards to any kind of further punishment for Lane. But there's a video that is online. You can see Justin Lane punching, throwing a punch, I guess.
Yeah, that's correct. It's on Twitter. Him and the senior receiver, Ronquavion Tarver, it was in the first quarter. They got into it a little bit. Chris Solari retweeted it, so that'd be probably the best spot to find it. Yeah, I didn't see it either, to be honest with you. But,
okay.
You know, I do remember offsetting penalties for unsportsmanlike at some point in the first quarter, and I didn't see what it was, and I guess now I know.
Right. He didn't connect on that punch at all, right? And why throw a punch in football, too?
Exactly.
You know, because these guys have on helmets. That would hurt if you did, quote-unquote, land a punch in a football game. I don't get that one.
Yeah, so. It looks like it caught him in the face mask.
In the face mask?
Yeah, which is exactly, like, why on earth would you punch someone's face mask? That's a losing battle.
That sounds like it hurts. He could have broken his hand. So, yeah. All right. I know emotions are high. First game one, right? So we'll keep track of that if there is any further punishment when it comes to Justin Lane and his throwing a punch unsportsmanlike conduct penalty from the Utah State and Michigan State game. Also, Cole Chewins, who went down in that game, he is practicing, so that's positive news when it comes to the injury report for Chewins. And, Cole Chewins did not play, Jack? Did he play?
Don't believe so. Unknown source, friend of mine, said that he'd kind of been injured in camp leading up to the game. I don't believe
so Cole
Chewins got any snaps.
Wasn't out there. Okay, I have that.
I believe, didn't Luke Campbell start the game at left tackle
right,
and Jordan Reed at the right?
He did. Yep. I thought that Cole got some reps. I could be wrong, though. Could be wrong. I'm seeing it here. Yeah, they did not play left tackle Cole Chewins. So, yeah, thank you for that correction, Jack. And also, when it comes to the penalties, I mean, the 9 penalties for 62 yards, I mean, that was a big point that Mark D'Antonio brought up. That's why the game was so close. I mean, again, they, you know, especially on two occasions, Michigan State was penalized when it could have been 6 points in the end zone for a touchdown. And also, you know, I bring up, you know, how Michigan State does not blow out teams, right? And, you know, when you go back, Mark D'Antonio brought up the years of 2013 and 2015. If you remember in 2013, that was the year that Michigan State went to the Rose Bowl. They opened the season against Western Michigan University. That was a 26 28-13 final in favor of Michigan State. Kind of close, right? Again, Michigan State goes on to play in the Rose Bowl. Also, in 2015, they opened up against that same team, the Western Michigan Broncos. That one was also closer than expected. That ended up being a 37-24 victory for the Spartans. And what does Michigan State do? They go all the way to the college football playoff to play Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide. So I think Michigan State should schedule season openers against Western Michigan more often, right? All right, what are your thoughts on what Coach D had to say following the win against Utah State on Friday night and in preparation for Arizona State come this weekend? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk about Braylon Edwards, the former wide receiver great for the Maize and Blue, criticizing the 2018 Michigan Wolverines after the loss to Notre Dame on Saturday. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, let's dive right into it as we come down the home stretch of this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Thank you for listening here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. As many of you know now, Braylon Edwards, former University of Michigan wide receiver great, he has been suspended indefinitely by the Big Ten Network for his criticism of his former team in the Michigan Wolverines and their, let's say, uninspiring performance against Notre Dame on Saturday night. Edwards called out two players and even dropped the F-bomb, and he apologized yesterday, saying, quote, "I would like to address the tweet from this past Saturday. I should not have attacked Ruiz and Patterson that hard, or period, individually. I apologize as a former student athlete and NC2A analyst. With that being said, U of M football still needs to step up. So no apologies there," end quote. I like that from Braylon because he's apologizing for where he was wrong. And again, that's calling out the players. And again, dropping the F-bomb. But at the end of the day, Braylon is saying that this team should be better than what it showed on Saturday night. I respect that from Edwards, and I think that Edwards speaks for the majority of the Michigan football fan base. Braylon went on to tell the Detroit News that his original tweet was excessive, and it, again, was a mistake to call out the players by name, but he stands by his message. It is all about winning now. To reiterate my point from yesterday, it is all about winning now for the Michigan Wolverines, and Jim Harbaugh is off to a really, really ugly start. Line one, Ray from Indiana wants to chime in. Ray, what do you think of Braylon Edwards and his criticism of the Wolverines?
Hey, I got a comment for Jimmy to start with, okay? Jimmy, you won a free vacation to France, but you lost a football game in South Bend. You're the greatest off-season coach I've ever seen in my life. You're the greatest. You're better than Urban Meyer. You're better than Nick Saban. But when it comes to football Sunday, Saturday, you're not even close to the Michigan State coach.
Not even, huh? Well, Mark D'Antonio is a pretty good coach, though, Ray. You got to give Coach D his credit, man. You said not even. I mean, Mark D'Antonio is a pretty good coach, Ray.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about a guy that's making $10 million a year.
Right.
He's good at the off season. When it comes to football season, he can't produce, can he?
What do you think of Braylon Edwards criticizing his former team?
I tried to get your buddy to give me the Big Ten Network. I want to call him and rip him for having the guts. You know, Jim Harbaugh was behind that because he tweaked. He said, "Come after me, don't come after my kids."
Right, exactly. He said, "If anybody deserves criticism, it's me. Don't call out my players."
Well, he deserves it. He deserves all the criticism. He's a jerk.
But you want to call
just like all them other jerks down there in Ann Arbor, including John Beilein. I know he had heart surgery. I'm glad he got through it all right, and he's back on his feet. But he's a liar, too. There's a bunch of liars down there and thieves.
Hold on, Ray. One thing at a time, Ray. Hold on. You actually want to call the Big Ten Network and have them fire Braylon? You don't think that he should just be suspended?
No, I want him to reinstate him.
Him. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think he did. You know, buddy, we don't have no freedom rights in this country at all. If you call anybody out or anything else, they rip you and they cut you from your job,
mm-hmm.
like they did me. They're nothing but a bunch of jerks. They're liars down in Michigan. And they always will be liars, and they're all about the gold and silver, not the understanding knowledge. You know, they're arrogant and prideful, and they won't. That's why they haven't fired Harbaugh yet, and that's why they won't fire him, because they're paying him $10 million a year. Who they going to bring in now? They've already went through two or three other clowns. How many more clowns can they go through?
Ray from Indiana, the always honest Ray from Indiana. Ray, thank you so much, man.
All right, buddy. God bless.
Ray is always bringing the heat. Jack, that was fiery from Ray. I didn't expect that. We always expect a colorful call when it comes to Ray, but man, he was very angry there. You could hear it bleed through, you know, your headphones.
He was letting it fly, man.
He was letting it fly. So yeah, when it comes to Braylon, I like the Braylon. Real quick here, before we play this NPR piece discussing the Colin Kaepernick and Nike endorsement deal, I like that Braylon Edwards Jack stuck to his guns. He apologized for what he needed to apologize for, but at the end of the day, Stevie Wonder could see that the Michigan Wolverines were not impressive on Saturday, and there are a lot of kinks in that armor right now. What are your thoughts on Braylon?
No, that's exactly right, and you know what? If you want to say Braylon Edwards is an analyst, I mean, that's fine, but you know he's a former player first, and he's a fan first, and I think that's kind of the trade-off if at Big Ten Network you're going to employ former players. You know, they're going to be critical of their former school, of the team they suited up for. And I didn't have any issue with Braylon calling out Jim Harbaugh or calling out the University of Michigan, you know, kind of like what you said. I had an issue with him dropping an F-bomb in the tweet and naming specific players. So I have no issue with Braylon doubling down that, you know, he needs to see more from the University of Michigan, and I appreciate that he apologized for what I think he needed to apologize for.
I agree. And is it kink or chink? It's chink, isn't it? Chink in the armor?
Chink in the armor, yeah.
Chink in the armor. I said kink. Hey, it's Tuesday. All right, let's go to the NPR piece now, coming from Steve Inskeep, who talks to Justin Tinsley of the website The Undefeated, owned by ESPN, about Nike selecting ex-quarterback Colin Kaepernick as one of its faces of the Just Do It campaign, which is celebrating its 30th anniversary.
The former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick can't get a job playing football, but Nike is hiring. In new ads for Nike's 30th anniversary Just Do It campaign, a tagline on top of Kaepernick's face reads, "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything." In 2016, Kaepernick kneeled during the national anthem as a protest against social injustice, and he became the face of a player protest movement against racism. Justin Tinsley is a sports and culture reporter for ESPN's The Undefeated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. What message is Nike sending by choosing Kaepernick for this campaign?
It's a very multifaceted message. Let's get the first thing out of the way. Is this a multi-billion dollar company profiting off social justice? Of course it is. There's no other way around that. The truth is the truth. But it does bring to light a very, very important conversation that the NFL is going to have to deal with now. Nike is the official team apparel designer for the entire NFL, and it's going to be so for the next 10 years. Hmm. So now they have to hurry up and get this collusion case under wraps, because now Nike is supporting a guy that is actively suing the NFL for blocking him from working. So it's a lot of things that could work in their favor. And I don't think Nike's going to take too much of a financial hit. You know, a lot of people love Nike. You might see people burning their shoes on social media, but it's nothing that you need to be concerned with from a widespread angle. And it also helps build trust between Nike and the communities that buy their product. And this is also how, you know, big time corporations should use their influence.
Well, that's interesting that you mentioned that when you talk about people who buy their product. If I think about one of those Venn diagrams where they have the circles that sort of overlap, I mean, there's people who watch the NFL, some of whom are very mad about the kneeling in protest, and you have people who buy Nike products. Those circles don't totally intersect. There's lots of people probably who are not NFL fans who are nevertheless spending money on Nike.
Oh, absolutely. Like they're not going to take a drastic hit from the bottom line. And then at the end of the day, Nike, again, this is a internationally known multi-billion-dollar company. They've done the math. They've done the bottom line probably hundreds of times over, and they know the benefit that can come from this. And at the end of the day, you want to be on the right side of history as well, because when we look back on this era of sports activism, Nike is going to have, you know, probably the three most recognizable names in that arena. One being obviously Colin Kaepernick, who's been signed to Nike since 2011. This wasn't just something that Nike just signed him 2 months ago trying to, you know, jump on that bandwagon. But it's Colin Kaepernick, it's Serena Williams, and of course LeBron James. And that goes a long way with the legacy of a company.
Where does his case against the NFL stand?
Well, they're going to arbitration, which is, you know, not necessarily the most opportune thing for the NFL, because that means this issue is, again, going to be a storyline in over the course of the season. So now if this comes out as to where the NFL is found out to be actively colluding to keep Colin Kaepernick out of the league, we're looking at potentially the biggest sports-related legal case since Curt Flood in baseball, which basically introduced free agency.
Wow. Justin Tinsley, thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
He's with The Undefeated, and he joined us via Skype.
All right, again, NPR, Steve Inskeep talking to Justin Tinsley of ESPN's The Undefeated. A lot to unpack there, but two big points I want to talk about on tomorrow's Current Sports. As you heard Tinsley reference, the arbitration case that Colin Kaepernick has against the NFL, and this could be huge. If the NFL is found to have purposefully, you know, alienated Colin Kaepernick from getting a job in the league, boy, oh boy, you talk about fallout and repercussions. So that's one thing I'm going to elaborate on and go through the details and really unpack. And also the fact that Nike is in partnership with the NFL and the kind of wrinkle that this could cause. So we will lead with Colin Kaepernick and Nike on tomorrow's Current Sports. Until then, I want to give a big birthday shout out to Beyonce. She is now 37 years old. Yeah, deja vu. A little deja vu to end this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Happy birthday to Queen B, one of the most influential artists of our time. Until next time, folks, we are on a 23-hour break. Have a great Tuesday and be easy, people.